Hello, everybody. My name is Frank Diglio. Welcome to My Sports Musings. I'm the host. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the Yankees and the Giants. Last night, the Yankees had a huge, biggest win of the season, comeback win against the Red Sox. Mark Teixeira and Chase Headley both hit home runs in the bottom of the ninth to turn a 4-3 deficit into a 5-4 walk-off win. They did it against Red Sox closer Koji Uehara, who has basically, I mean, as of late, he's been a little bit off, but for his entirety, as the Red Sox closer, he's been lights out. The Yankees never hit him. Going to the ninth inning last night, I thought this game is probably over. I have no recollection of the Yankees ever really hitting Uehara for more than, like, you know, a hit here, a hit there. But, you know, whatever he's going through, whatever issues he's having physically or mentally, they persisted last night. Like I said, to Sharon Headley. Headley with the walk-off. It was huge. The Yankees needed it. Both Detroit and Seattle won. Detroit, man, that was a gut punch because they scored four in the first, and then you thought, oh, this game's over. Detroit's going to win. Scherzer's pitching. But then Indians tied at four, and in the 11th, Detroit scores seven more runs. If Detroit would have lost last night, that would have been one of the teams the Yankees are behind. They could have picked up a game on them. But now the Yankees go into tonight against the Kansas City Royals. And tonight, I think, look, the Yankees, basically every series for the rest of the year, the Yankees would kind of need to sweep it. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So when I say the Yankees kind of need to sweep Kansas City, I'm saying that in the sense that they need to pick up games now. But more realistically, taking two out of three would be very, it'd be pretty good against a team that's better than them. And a team that they could be chasing in the wild card. First of all, if the Yankees sweep Kansas City, that they would basically have done the job that I said on Wednesday needed to be done, where they needed Kansas City to fall behind Detroit because they have three games with Kansas City, so they can kind of control their destiny. So if the Yankees were to sweep Kansas City, in all likelihood, Kansas City would fall behind Detroit. Well, not in all likelihood, but there's a chance Kansas City would fall behind Detroit. And if the Yankees swept them, then the Yankees would be two games behind the Royals for that second wild card spot. Again, assuming Detroit jumped them to, or at least tied with them to at the top of that division. So then, if they both had 64 losses, and the Yankees swept, they would be two back. And unless they Seattle wins two out of three, and the Yankees sweep, obviously the Yankees pick up a game, then they're two back of everybody, and that's really good. I'm just completely forgetting the division. The Yankees have no chance of winning the division. According to Fangraphs, they have a 0.9 chance of winning the division. And I think that's even high. So, but the question is, do the Yankees have a real chance of sweeping Kansas City? Probably not. Tonight, Pineda pitches against Shields. The Yankees hit Shields a little bit better than some teams. I like tonight's matchup for the Yankees. Pineda has been lights out basically every start. He has a 2.09 ERA for the team. I would be pretty surprised, obviously, if he pitched poorly. I would look for the Yankees to... I think the Yankees are going to win tonight. And then the middle game, you know, if you don't believe in sabermetrics or even basic advanced stats past win-losses, you say tomorrow's a terrible pitching matchup, David Duffy versus Brandon McCarthy. But, I mean, it's really, McCarthy's been great for the Yankees. You know, right now he has a 2.8 ERA as a Yankee. Duffy has a 8.2 ERA for a full season with the Royals, and their combined records are 16-25. But That's the one where the Yankees, I feel like, are going to have a hard time pitching against Duffy. I mean, hitting against Duffy. I know earlier in the year, they hit him. He gave up 3 runs through 5 2/3. But it's Danny Duffy, I'm sorry. The Yankees don't hit well against pitches that they don't see very often. Like, even in Pedro Martinez's prime, now he's like a 3.5 ERA against the Yankees, or it might be like a little bit over 3. But his ERA against the Yankees was a little bit worse against everybody else, because the Yankees were constantly facing Martinez. So they started to hit him a little better. I know that's a different team, but the Yankees still do that now. Other than, like, pitchers who just own them, like Felix Hernandez, they don't hit well against pitches that they haven't seen very often, even regardless of how good those pitchers are. Sometimes they'll beat up on a fifth starter or a starter coming up from the minor leagues to make an injury start or whatever. But a lot of times they don't, and that's why I think against Duffy and Ventura they're going to have issues. I don't even think Ventura's ever pitched against the Yankees. Ventura's been really good all year, though, 3.38. His whip is 1.3, which isn't high, but it's not amazingly low. What the Yankees have to hope for is, you know, over these next three games, is that the offense is buoyed by last night's comeback performance, and they get hot. You know, they gotta get hot for these next 3-4 days. And also, Chris Archer is, by the way, pitching that game, that first game with Tampa Bay, with Kuroda. And Archer pitches well against the Yankees. At least he has, last year and parts of this year. So the Yankees, it's even more imperative with their pitching matchups looking in the future. That, look, 2 out of 3 would be great. If they can get Shields and, well, here's the thing. They gotta win tonight. And if they lose, if you told me they're going to go 1-1 over the next two games, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But if they win tomorrow, if the Yankees beat Duffy, then you got to beat Ventura. You got to get the sweep, because these are the kind of games you have to win if you're going to come back in the playoff race. If you take the first two games of a series, you have to get the sweep, because that's you can't just be giving away games at that point. You can't just be losing games that would be huge to win. But if the Yankees, you know, they drop tomorrow, then obviously Sunday becomes even more imperative so they don't lose, or important so they don't lose 2 out of 3. But it's the Yankees are really on a game-by-game basis. Like I said, it'd be ideal if they swept, but it's not particularly realistic against a team that, like, has been better than them all year. And that's weird saying that about the Kansas City Royals, but it's true. And talk a little bit about the Giants. We're talking about their injuries the last few days. Odell Beckham Jr. has said he hasn't said, but reporters have said he looked good in some practices today, non-contact. He was just running routes. He caught all the passes thrown to him. He looked sharp. Coughlin hasn't. I haven't heard anything from Coughlin outside of the, it might take 3 to 4 more weeks for him to heal. The only hope is maybe he's over-exaggerating or giving Beckham the maybe 3 or 4 is the max amount of time, and he doesn't want to rush Beckham back. He's a rookie. He doesn't want to put too much pressure on him. So maybe by making the timetable longer, if he comes back a little bit sooner, there's not so much pressure on him, and he comes back a little, fans and players, the organization knows really what's going on. And also, there's an article today on ESPN New York about the Giants' secondary against Calvin Johnson. Obviously, Calvin Johnson is, you know, just a freak of nature, best wide receiver in the NFL. And he's so good that A.J. Green is an absolute freak, and there isn't a particularly good argument as to why A.J. Green would be better than Calvin Johnson. And A.J. Green is amazing, but Calvin Johnson's just that much better. It's incredible. But, and it's talking about how Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is going to have to cover him, Amukamara might get some time, Ontrell Roll and Walter Thurman. Ontrell was going to have to give safety help. Walter Thurman might cover him a little bit, but depending on where they line up Johnson. But I think if the Giants are going to beat the Lions, it's going to be because they put pressure on Stafford. You know, you're going to have to rattle him, because this passing game in Detroit is really good, and they're playing in Detroit, you know, in a dome. It's going to be great passing. Great passing environment for them. So they need to get pressure. Jason Pierre-Paul has to be the defensive end. He was in the Super Bowl year. You remember, he basically won that game by himself. The Cowboys game, the Giants were down by 12 with 5 minutes left. He had a pick, and he blocked the field goal at the end of the game to save the game. Otherwise, the Giants would have lost and not even made the playoffs. See, they won the Super Bowl. They need that guy back. And if he doesn't return to that, especially without Justin Tuck, who I always thought last year was a little bit overrated, but he was still pretty, you know, he was still good. He just wasn't, like, this amazing defensive end anymore. But if Jason Pierre-Paul and now Matthias Kiwanuka move back into defensive end, permanently, no more jerking him around with a linebacker, if they don't step it up and get to the quarterbacks on a, you know, obviously they're not going to both have multiple sacks a game, but they need to make their presence known every single game. And if they can't do that, then the Giants are in trouble. And I think Monday night, we're going to really see if the Giants are going to beat Detroit. It's going to be because they put pressure on the quarterback. And I've been saying this for years. Putting pressure on the quarterback is more important than having a good secondary. I really believe that, and I think the Giants' two Super Bowls somewhat validate that. In the Giants' two Super Bowls, they never had a great cornerback. They had great pass rushes, and that's what you really need. If you can put pressure on even the best quarterback, it's gonna affect him. And even if you have great secondary, but you can't put pressure on the quarterback, eventually he'll find an opening space. Obviously, it doesn't happen every time, but how many teams win the Super Bowl and they can't rush the quarterback? You know, people are gonna bring up last year's Seattle secondary. But Seattle also had a great pass rush. They had a great defensive line. They put pressure on Peyton Manning, too, in that Super Bowl. They put pressure on quarterbacks all year. That's what makes their defense so good, is you can't pass on them because of their cornerbacks and safeties, but you also have very little time to make a decision. So it's not like you can wait back there for 3 or 4 seconds and find an open receiver. It's, you know, snap and then get it out. And the Giants, they don't have a great secondary. I think they have a good secondary. I think Thurman, Rogers, Cromartie, Amu Kamara, and Roll, they're all pretty good. I think they're all above average. But I think the way the Giants have to be looking at it is, if they don't have a consistent pass rush, where, again, not a sack every game, but they got to put pressure on the quarterback every game, hit him, rattle him around, make sure he knows that every single time he drops back, he can get sacked. If they can't do that, then they're going to be in real trouble. And as good as their defense was last year, it's not going to be as good, or anywhere near as good, despite the defensive additions, if they don't, like I said, they don't get to the quarterback. And that's going to wrap it up. My name is Frank Diglio. You can email the show at mysportsmusings@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.